Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the art with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is a beautiful Wednesday today in Central Florida and hopefully wherever you may be. And we're kind of doing another version of Wellness Wednesday. Anytime we can talk about health news because health concerns are ongoing, we're going to do it. So what we want to try to do, as I mentioned earlier in the month, is try to give you some game plans to kind of work out 2021. So we are talking about the 2021 health game plan today, and we have asked back, and she has graciously agreed to join us today, Dr. Trelonda Triplett. Good morning, Dr. Triplett. Welcome back.
Good morning. Good morning. It is such a pleasure to hear you and be with you again today.
Amen.
Happy
Same
holidays
year.
To all.
Habargani
to all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So before we get started, let everybody know who you are, what you're doing, and how things are going with you. How was your Christmas, by the way? Your Christmas
it
day?
Was fantastic. I live to see it, so it's better than most. And we'll start there. I am
Amen.
Dr. Trelonda Triplett. I am Director of Operations for the Institute for Successful Leadership. I am also an epidemiologist, which for a very long time, most people didn't know what that meant. But thanks to my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Anthony Fauci, everybody knows what an epidemiologist does. So I'm thankful and grateful for his leadership. And what I do, and as a scientist, I look at health and wellness from population and community levels, and what your physician might do for you as an individual, which means he or she will ask for your symptoms and look at what your issues might be and make the treatment plan based on the symptoms and the other issues that you individually bring into his or her office. As an epidemiologist, I do similar things for communities and populations of people. So I look at distributions of health, distributions of wellness, how this virus is moving through populations, and I make recommendations for preventing continued spread of viruses and illnesses and other chronic and infectious diseases. So that's what I do, and I've been doing that, my goodness, I'll be celebrating 25 years of doing just that with the Institute for Successful Leadership in March of 2021. So I'm very, very excited about it and glad to continue to provide that service to communities across the street and around the globe.
So I guess what a lot of people would have thought would be a behind-the-scenes kind of profession is now front and center with the pandemic. So let's talk about how the pandemic has impacted health in 2020, first of all. Because, you know, focus is usually on cancer, heart disease. I guess organ transplants has now come to the fore a little bit with, you know, you see these different dialysis places on corners almost like you see convenience stores almost now, which is unfortunate in a way. But, I mean, it's a good thing that they're there. But let's talk about how all of this has gotten maybe pushed to the side because of the pandemic and, you know, how 2020 has resulted, you know, from start to finish, different years from when it started.
Absolutely. And I want to be very clear with when we talk about the word pandemic, when we say pandemic, what does that actually mean? That means it's a global health crisis. That means it's just not in my neighborhood. It's just not on my street. It's just not in my county or city or state. It is around the globe. It is a global incident of a particular virus. And so when we start to talk about coronavirus and issues like that, the pandemic status of it had to come from somewhere. You don't just say that, you know, I've got a runny nose and there are people that have runny noses and, oh, it's a pandemic. No, there are scientific criteria that are, that have been created in order for a particular condition to be labeled a pandemic. So when you start to say pandemic, we know it's a global issue. And so I want that to be explicitly clear for our listeners today. This is not something that's just on your particular block. This is something that the entire globe that it is addressing. And certainly in 2020, when we started to look at the coronavirus and what was happening in China, and we looked at different travel spans and how people move around the globe, it became an issue that the World Health Organization was beginning to talk about and notify countries around the globe that this could be an issue. And sure enough, we saw the outcomes of not being very forthright, let's say, in preventing these issues to spread across the United States and other countries around the globe. And so that's how the coronavirus issue has come up, and it's become something that has not that we can no longer ignore as a community, as a state, as a country, because it's a global phenomenon.
So when I listen to the numbers and I see the numbers creeping up, it looks like by spring, even though we have a vaccine now, it still looks like by spring, a good 10% of our population here in the United States will succumb to this. In your lifetime, you know, especially when you started as an epidemiologist, was this anything like what you thought you'd be experiencing and be dealing with in your lifetime?
I'm going to be completely honest with you because I know I can. The answer is no. No. I did not think that I would see a situation like this in my lifetime. Now, let's back up. Let's be completely clear now. HIV was a pandemic. Okay? So we've seen pandemics before, right? But something like this, this coronavirus issue, because HIV was a little different, let's be honest, the risk factors were a little bit different. You either had to have a sexual interaction with somebody who was infected, you had to have a blood transfusion from someone from where the blood supply had been infected, or something like that. So so the risk factors were a little bit different.
You were kind of dealing with known entities. With everything you're dealing with known entities, it's like, okay, you know, I can not get a transfusion. I can not do drugs. I cannot have risky sexual intercourse. And for the most part, I'm going to be pretty much okay. It would be some sort of act of whatever, you know, yeah. for me to get
sure.
it. This
it was a,
this
it was a fair assumption. You know, it was a fair assumption that you had done the primary work of primary prevention, and I'm getting scientific. That primary prevention piece, you could avoid, you know, by making some very deliberate behavioral changes. And you were right, injecting drugs and not sharing needles with people, and, you know, promiscuous sexual activity and this and that and the other, and blood transfusions. That was reasonable. That was what the science said, and people were responsive to the science. Let's be clear. Okay? Mm-hmm. When COVID-19 came, we had and still have too many people who are not being responsive to the directives that we have been given. And the virus is continuing to spread. And we have people who have comorbidities. And we talked about the word comorbidities when we were together last. And that
right.
is having existing conditions before you even contract this virus. That's when you start to talk about these chronic conditions and cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure and obesity and diabetes and these other conditions that make if I have these conditions and I also contract coronavirus, it makes my disease, the virus that I get, is going to be much more severe than someone else who catches the same virus that doesn't have these particular existing conditions when they contract the virus. And so we are dealing with that sort of issue as well. And so when we start to look at the numbers, let's know what we're looking at. Let's know when people are tested. Let's know when they find out they are positive. What does that mean? How can they be isolated? Who can be isolated? Who can't be isolated? Who can stop going to work? Who can reduce their interaction in public? Who's willing to do these things? Who's willing to make these behavioral changes that's going to mitigate and minimize the risk that someone else contracts it from them? And that's the question that's in front of us right now.
So we are fortunate enough at this time to start, now we have people getting injected with vaccines. And more vaccines are coming on the horizon. I know one of the concerns right now is that the numbers in terms of people getting injected with vaccine are not as big as people wanted by the end of 2020. What are the ramifications of that?
Well, there are a couple of things, and again, there's what we see, and there's the backstory, and what can happen moving forward. There are a number of communities, and Black communities, to be very clear, are very skeptical when it comes to this vaccine. And I've talked to a number of different people, a number of different communities, and they're skeptical, and rightfully so. Let's be honest about it. Let's talk about the history of the U.S. Public Health Service with Black populations. Rightfully
so. And I was going to get
to
that, but yeah, let's go ahead and talk about it.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
We don't have a very good and trusting relationship, community-based, community-wide, with respect to our treatment in healthcare and public health situations and systems. And so now we're in a situation where people are giving these vaccines the side eye, rightfully so. And I want to say, as a professional in this field, I've had an opportunity to really look at how this process has been put together, and it was called Operation Warp Speed, which didn't help anybody. I don't know who came up with that name. I would have never. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. Okay, that's a different story. But the fact of the matter is the scientists that have put this vaccine together had access to technologies that simply were not in place in years past. They simply had a number of production technologies and uses of computers and things that really do change the game, that really do change the timeline that vaccines and things of that nature take, because as you well know, 18 months and 24 months, that was about the time that it took for a vaccine to even get prepared to go into clinical trials, and that's what we were accustomed to in the past. However, the technologies that are in place now can put something like this in place, and you see now Pfizer has come out with a vaccine, and Moderna has come out with their vaccine, and there's another one that has been approved in the UK that we probably will see very, very soon in the United States. And so the use of these technologies that are in place right now really does change the game as far as production of vaccines that are ready and responsive to the needs of communities at large. And the fact of the matter is, Black populations have felt the brunt of COVID infection and mortality and hospitalization. And, you know, we have rightfully got some skepticism in it, but I want all of our populations to understand that we have to be our own best advocates in this situation. Ask which vaccine that you're getting. Know that it's a two-shot deal. Don't tell me you got one. That's not going to help us. We have to get both shots. If that's what your vaccine requires, make the time to make sure that you get the full dosage of the vaccine. When you get the full dosage, you can expect to get the full coverage and prevention that a vaccine will provide for you. But if we do it halfway, we cannot expect the full coverage and prevention. But, you know, we've got some work to do, and we've got to be courageous in this fight. This is something that, you know, this is not a cold. This is not the flu. This is something, coronavirus can kill you. And we're seeing the worst of it in front of us right now because people are taking some liberties that I really am concerned about.
Okay. It's hard in 2020 for a Black person to even to have that kind of courage to put their lives at risk. It's just anybody is asking a lot of a Black person if they are wanting to ask them to step up and, because they also want Black people to be part of clinical trials. They want Black people to go ahead and get tested in their communities. They want Black people to go ahead and get vaccinated. Then you have Black people feeling like they're being not only attacked from the medical community, but from society at large right now. You know, with the most prominent case this year having been George Floyd, and then, you know, going from there with the most recent case of a young teenager who got attacked for a cell phone. I don't know if you saw that. So, I mean, walking out the door is a little bit unsettling in some cases for a Black person right now. So I was on a Zoom call on Christmas. And there was even a nurse on a Zoom call that was like, I'm going to wait and see. You know? So, because they were like, okay, you're the health professional, and there's all these people on Zoom call. It's like, you know, she was like E.F. Hutton, you know? And it was like, for anybody that remembers that commercial. But anyway, I'm dating myself.
You absolutely dated yourself right there.
But there was she was like, I just need to wait and see, you know, how the reactions are going to be, the side effects are going to be, you know, before I do it. And it's like, wow, you're the health professional. If you're the health professional and you have hesitation, I'm Joe Blow or Josephine Blow or whatever, and that really doesn't make me reassured at all.
Well, and the reality of the situation is anytime we introduce substances into our bodies, there will be side effects. The body is a beautiful, wonderful instrument, but it exists on balance. Okay, so if we introduce something into our bodies, it is going to react. Don't make me point out anybody that has drank trash can punch and wonder what happens when you introduce something foreign into your body. It is going to react, okay? And so when we look at this vaccine and when we look at this issue that is in front of us right here, am I suggesting that you know, you just run up and just don't? We have a role that we have to play, and as advocates for our own health and well-being, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to find the information that gives us peace about this particular step that we must take. That means find out the difference between the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. Find out which one you are being introduced to. If you decide to take one, which one is available in your county or in your state? There's a difference. It depends on where you are to know which one you are going to be taking, if that is what you decide to do. They are not the same. They're two different formularies. Okay? There's one that you take, and then the second dose is due in 21 days. That's the Pfizer one. The Moderna one, you take the first shot. The second shot is due in 28 days. You've got to know and understand and ask the questions that are necessary in order for you to make an informed decision here. What are the side effects? Should you expect for the spot that you get your shot in, is it going to be sore? If you've ever taken a flu shot, you know it's going to be sore there. So what are the things that we should expect, and when should we speak to somebody and say, hey, this is not what I expected at all? That's also why I understand that when you get the inoculations done, it should take around 30 minutes. Because once you take the shot, they will watch you for about 30 minutes to make sure you don't have any adverse responses to the vaccination. So I say that each and every one of us has the opportunity and has the responsibility to go and find the information so that we can make decisions that are informed and that we understand as much as we possibly can about this decision, and then make the decision and be courageous about it. Each and every one of us has to have that responsibility. And there are many of us who have to make that decision a whole lot sooner than others of us, mm-hmm. for a number of criteria and a number of reasons. But, you know, as my grandmother said a long time ago, scared money don't make money. So you it's going to be incumbent upon each and every one of us to not only find the information from viable sources, please, you all, if you're going to find out the information, find it from somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't spread incorrect information. Please don't do that. We are suffering from such foolishness right now. So
that's why I have the experts on my. That's why I have experts on my show, because I am not a health expert.
Right.
I will have a health expert on the show, but I am not a health
that's
expert.
Right. And the information is out there. If you've got a cell phone, if you've got Wi-Fi access, find the information that you're looking for, and make sure that you are knowledgeable before you make the decision that you need to make. You know, the information that we got when the COVID-19 virus was en route to the United States was flawed at best, and I'm being very kind about that. Flawed at best, and it put us behind the eight ball way before we could even begin to prevent the spread of the virus in the United States, and we are paying the price right now.
So. Have you gotten it? Are you getting it?
I am going to get it. I have not gotten it yet. I do not meet the criteria to be in line right now, But I do plan to get the vaccine when it is offered to people like me. And when I get it, I will let you know. But that is something that I believe is in the best interest of me, for me to live the life that I'm looking forward to 2021 to continue on my path to live. You know, the new year is right around the corner from us, thank the Lord. And the possibilities are endless. The possibilities are absolutely endless. And that's one of the things that is so important about our purpose and our health and what we pursue is that we understand it's not just about whether we feel good today or not feel good. Health is everything. It's in our body, our mind, and our spirit. And if we have learned nothing else through this quarantine time and through this time that we've had in 2020, is that health is the cornerstone of our existence. It's in everything that we do. It's in every relationship. It's in where we go to the grocery store. It's in everything that we do. And so, you know, it's a part of this process for us to figure out what is best for us and make the necessary decisions to pursue the level and quality of life that we seek.
So, because I know you're straight with me. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your apprehension about getting this vaccine and why?
My level of apprehension, I don't like needles at all, any kind, for anything. I'm telling you the truth. I wish that they had like a pill or something. If I could, you know, have a piece of candy or something with the medication in it. I don't like needles, but, you know, I recognize that oftentimes we have to do the things that are, you know, not necessarily comfortable to us to get where it is that we desire to go. And so my apprehension, it has everything to do with the way that they're going to present the vaccination medication. But other than that, you know, I just am at peace with it, and I understand it's as necessary as any of the other vaccinations that we've had to take to be in school, whether it's measles, mumps, rubella, or any of polio. And the other vaccines were at some point introduced to American populations. And I'm sure that there was some skepticism there, but soon enough it became something that people became much more comfortable with. And I see this time as some time that the United States has seen before. And I just see this as a necessary issue that a global citizen has got to take on.
And I shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't. Oh, man. But I'm not good with vaccinations, immunizations. I am not up on them like I should be, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has to do, I think it has to do with one I had when I was a kid, a very young kid, and I can still remember how bad my arm hurt when I got a flu shot, and
right.
I'll never forget it, because I remember being carried out of the doctor's office. I was that little. That's one of my earliest memories, and so, like, I went to get my annual and my checkup, and my daughter's like, you want to get in? And I'm like, nah, not right now. She's like, can you tell me why? And I looked at her like, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a good answer for her, you know. But
right.
It was just,
right.
I wasn't, my comfort level wasn't there.
Right.
And then I do think about, the social experiments and all that type of stuff. And then, you know, I think about, I'm the one person that's going to have that bad reaction.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, I'm paranoid, but I'm really too old to be that kind of paranoid. And knowing that I'm aging, you know, and I'll be, you know, 60 in a couple months. So knowing that should prompt me to go ahead and get every shot, every vaccination they got out there. But I have just been really apprehensive. So I've got to figure out a way to get past that.
Right. And I think you said the most important part is that you have to figure out how to get past that if you want to have a right to expect an optimal quality of life as you continue to get better. You notice I didn't say age. As you continue to get better.
You're saying it's okay. It is what it is.
That's right. It sure is, because guess what? The other option is not exciting. So I think that we have to reframe the whole concept of what it means to age. That's
talk
a different
about
question,
that
and that's something we're going to need to talk about that very, very soon, because the whole concept of aging in place, and that's a whole different discussion, particularly among populations of color, black folks and Hispanic populations and other populations that are continuing to age, and we're living longer and living better and living better qualities of life. But in order for us to have a right to expect a better quality of life as we continue to age, we're going to have to do what is necessary as early as possible to mitigate bad health outcomes. You know, we need to eat better. We need to exercise in whatever way gives you happiness. That's a different.
Okay.
We're going to talk about something that's coming up that
we've
got to
talk about this, because we got to talk about it, because I have so many questions, because, you know, I'm trying to do the right things. And to be honest, I don't expect to live as long as some of my ancestors, like my great aunt who lived to be 110. I don't expect to get there. I really don't. And it's not like she was exercising and I'm doing Zumba 5 days a week. Okay. So there's some sort of disconnect here, but we'll talk about that another time. But we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Dr. Trelawna Triplett. We're getting ready to start talking about the 2021 health game plan in a minute. We wanted to kind of look back on 2020. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Wednesday. We are talking about the 2021 health game plan on G's Power Hour with Dr. Trelawna Triplett. And so this is that's not going to be nearly long enough. But anyway, let's get started. what I want to do is to really address the issue, you know, I mean, everybody tries to put some sort of health game plan into place around this time of year, going back to the gym, eating right, exercising more, walking more, whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Need to talk about things that are going to stick, or how to make whatever it is stick. So I'm just going to throw out there one of the things that I said I was going to do this year. I said I was going to take one issue, and just one, because I need to do a lot of stuff. But I think I said I was going to take one issue this year and address it, and so that by the end of 2021, it will not even be a part of the thought process. It will just be something I do. And that is
drink more water because mm-hmm. I am not the best of water drinkers. So mm-hmm. I said I was going to be conscientious, you know, like if I have a drink of something else, I'm either going to drink some water before or after it. And I'm going to hand a glass. If I fix myself a glass, I'm going to fix my husband a glass of water. So I've already started trying to do that. So I figured if I can get one thing down, then by the end of next year, then I can work on the next thing that I need to do. So tell me, is that a good strategy or should the strategy change?
Well, okay. Let's look at the situation now. We're looking at a strategy. We're calling this a game plan, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, my favorite sport is basketball. See,
okay.
I will watch anybody play basketball, okay?
You're tall.
And one of the things I love about the sport is that it's mm-hmm. so multifaceted. You know, first of all, there's offense, there's defense, right? And I can be a prolific scorer, right? I can shoot it from the parking lot. But if I can't play defense, my team could lose. Do you see what I'm saying? So let's look at the goal here, the objective that you're saying. You are attempting to improve your health and well-being, right?
Yes, correct.
You recognize that your water consumption is connected to your health and well-being. That is correct. I'm so proud of you. Fantastic. That's fantastic. All right. So you are suggesting then that increasing your water consumption will improve your health and well-being. You are absolutely correct. Let
okay.
me tell you how that's going to happen. Now, when you increase your water consumption, first of all, you're going to not be as hungry as you think you are, first of all.
Right.
Because sometimes what you are is thirsty, not hungry.
Mm-hmm. Or dehydrated.
When you increase, there you go, especially in Florida, When
mm-hmm.
you
because
drink
you get
more
dehydrated.
Water, your skin is warm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you get dehydrated
when
before you even realize you're dehydrated. That's my understanding.
By the time you're thirsty, you've been dehydrated for a couple of hours already.
Ooh,
by
wow.
By the time
okay.
you feel thirsty, okay? When you drink more water, your skin is going to glow, literally. You are literally going to look differently, okay? So there's that. But when you drink more water, you are going to lose weight.
Yay.
Because your body's not going to feel like it needs to hold on to water weight. Now, you're going to go to the bathroom more often, but
yes.
you're going to alleviate that water weight, right? So the
right.
one step that you're taking has multiple impacts. Right? And so you are to be commended for addressing that one particular thing. Now, if you are creating a game plan, though, one of the things that I would recommend, now this is, of course, this is Dr. Triplett speaking, I would recommend that you consider if we're going to add water to our diet, how about we reduce our salt intake?
Right.
Right? So if you're
right.
going to increase your water and reduce your salt intake, see, that's gonna exponentially add to what the impact of the water consumption is going to do for you. That's going to
okay.
improve your heart rate, improve your ability, your cardiovascular health. That's going to improve your stamina. It's going to improve your ability to your endurance. So when you walk, you're going to be able to walk a little longer, walk a little harder. You're going to have, you know, so all of these things are going to be impacted, right? So now you
right.
increase your water consumption, you reduce your salt consumption, right? How
okay.
about we get a little bit more sleep at night? How about that? What many people do not recognize is that sleep is a health-promoting activity. Sleep. Uninterrupted sleep, which means you turn off the TV, you turn off the cell phone, put it over somewhere where you can't reach at it and say, ooh, I wonder what they said on Facebook. Put it somewhere you can't reach it. Okay? Uninterrupted
sleep is a health promoting activity. Okay?
I know.
I would recommend. See, huh? Say it again.
I said, I know. That's an ongoing struggle for me.
Yeah.
And it's not the matter of the cell phone being by the bed, because actually I deliberately put it across the room. I won't put it out of the room. I'll put it across the room, because I always say that if I need to dial 911, it's got to be close. But I have moved it from the nightstand, and it's across the room.
Okay.
My issue, well, one of my issues has been, and I think I have a thyroid problem. Okay, I'm hyperthyroid.
Okay.
But one of my issues has been getting too hot. So the heat will sometimes wake me up, and I feel, unfortunately, I have a king-size bed, so I'll find another place in the bed and go back to sleep, because it's like I feel like I'm in a like a hot rut, you know, and I have to move and then go back to sleep. That's part of the issue. But I have always had a sleep issue. It does seem to be getting better, but, you know, I've had, like, my doctor say, okay, you need to stop being on the electronics by a certain time. Now, she said 7 o'clock in the evening. There is no way in the world I'm going to be off my computer at 7 o'clock. It just is not happening. But I am trying to... Well, for various reasons. One is that now I have a part-time job where I work 6 to 10 on my computer. So before that, though, I was making an effort to get to stop, let's say, stop drinking liquids and get off electronics by 9 o'clock. So I was trying to do that at that point. So, so anyway, that's the sleep thing is an issue for me.
Right. And so, and all I'm suggesting is this to your listeners and to folks within the sound of my voice right now. There are very simple adaptations and decisions that we can make today that can impact and contribute to your game plan for 2021. Now, as you as you are willing to make these decisions and make these adaptations, and what might be feasible for one person may not be as feasible for somebody else, but what is no longer acceptable are excuses. We do something.
Yeah.
You see, figure out what it is that you like that you will do frequently and with the duration that is necessary to get the recommended physical activity, sleep, water consumption. We got to reduce the sodium consumption. Fried foods got to be minimized. I love y'all. Minimize the fried foods. Minimize the fried foods.
Okay? I'm pretty good in that department. I don't fry that much. At one point in time, I got a fryer, and because I was like, well, if I fry the food, then it's going to be healthier than if I rely on somebody else to fry the food. And then recently I took the fryer off the counter, and I'm planning on getting rid of it because I'm like, look, I don't really eat that many fried foods in the first place for it to make that big of a deal. So every now and then, if I decide I want to go to Washington Shores Fish Market, and which is, you know, a rarity, and get some fish, or if I decide to go to Popeyes, and they put one down the street, which is not a good thing, but that's okay. I don't go that often. Then I'll do it then, and I'll get my fried food fix on, and then I'm good. But I've gotten to the point where I don't really eat fried foods that often. So
good. Good. We've got some decisions that have to be made. And I'm saying we because I have to make decisions as well. And this is not something that you just lay down the law and this is a process.
Yeah.
This is a process. This is something that we can do every single day and something that, you know, we can align ourselves with and make it so it's not such something that you just can't handle. I'll tell you this. I would have never guessed that I would get to the point that I wouldn't eat red meat or pork or anything like that. But I cannot tell you the last time I had a hamburger or bacon or any of that. And I know that sounds crazy to a whole lot of people. They're like, hey, there's no, I love, you know, barbecue ribs. I know what ribs are. I know exactly what they are. You know, I know what I'm talking about. But when you do a thing, when you can create these new routines and new habits for your body will thank you. It really, really will. And, you know, look at moderation. Look at small, you know, small steps. Small steps. And your body will begin to respond to the decisions that you have made. This thing with sleep is major. Turn the television off and go to sleep. TVs now with the high definition, the colors and stuff like that, they're made to keep you awake. Turn the television off in your bedroom. If you have one in your bedroom, which is a different question.
I know.
I know you do. So, I mean, we're talking about a game plan, right? You can't be all offense and no defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Yeah.
We're here to win. We are here to win.
Yeah. I mean, my thing with the TV is a weird thing. I know you're not necessarily supposed to have the TV in the bedroom. I do have it. You know, because, like, especially now that I'm working, and, you know, late, I spend a little time with my husband before we both go to sleep to watch TV. Now, the thing about it, my husband, now, talk about sleep, tease him, like, 20 seconds after his head hits the pillow, he is out, and there is nothing that will wake him up, which kind of disturbs me because my thing is, like, if someone breaks in the house, he won't know it because he's going to be asleep. But my thing is that, and actually I was talking to my best friend the other day, and she was saying that, you know, it's, I guess, and I understand it to a degree, the white noise or something that helps her go to sleep. And I've heard this with other people. Can you talk about that? Is that a thing in
if
terms of the TV helping
a
person go
thing.
To sleep?
If you believe that is a thing, it is a thing. If you turn that television off and train your body to say, we are not doing white noise anymore. We are going to sleep in this dark, temperature-appropriate, beautiful room with beautiful sheets, and I got on beautiful whatever I'm comfortable in. I've taken a nice shower or bath. I am at peace in this place. Once again, body, mind, spirit.
Yeah.
Body, mind, spirit.
Body, mind, spirit.
I am at peace in this space. I am going to rest in this space.
Yeah.
Turn the television off because it keeps your brain awake.
And you are so right.
Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, you're so right about changing the sleep environment, which I still have to work on a lot. But my mom used to talk about these thread count sheets and stuff like that, and then – I started to understand why, in terms of, you know, when you people like balk at spending a lot of money on sheets and on mattresses and different things, it does make a difference. I talked to my husband this day about the one mattress pad at this one hotel in Arizona that I cannot find. Because I told him that was the best sleep I'd ever had was on, because I called them and asked them about their mattress. But it does make a difference. I'm willing now, I understand now the need for a decent night's sleep, and I'm willing now to kind of dish out a little bit more money. I understand about kind of toning down and setting the temperature. They have this, and my husband, he knew as soon as I saw it that I was going to have to get one, and I haven't gotten it yet, but I got to get one. There is a Moen aromatherapy shower head. Now, this thing is almost is around $200, but I am getting one. Somebody's going to get, it's going to be Christmas, birthday, something, whatever, but I'm getting one because I've learned to recognize the need to have a decent shower. I take a bath. I take a soak in a tub approximately once a week because that's my winding down period. You know, that's my treat to myself because I have started to realize the need to have, to get your body and mind kind of in sync and get it kind of toned down from all the hubbub that goes on the rest of the time so that you can get a decent night's sleep.
Now, I have heard very good things about eucalyptus leaves, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and you can they're not $200. I'm just saying until your birthday or holiday arrives, eucalyptus leaves, I understand, to be tied around the shower, the nozzle that the shower spigot, and I understand the steam from the shower just absolutely spreads the fragrance, and it's supposed to be very relaxing, and eucalyptus is relaxing as well. So try that as well.
I just want
to recommend that you figure out individuals and folks figure out what it is that gives you peace. You got to come down and figure out how to prepare yourself for a peaceful night's rest. Now, many of us have had to work from home, and in this period, we've had to make our homes into where we work as well. And for many, that's been very difficult. That's been very, very difficult for people, and for a number of reasons. Which you know that because if your home lacks peace, it doesn't matter what you do in it. You're going to have to find peace in that space, of everything you do will be chaotic. Everything you do will be chaotic in a chaotic, confused space. Get that clutter out of your space. Give it away, throw it away, get rid of it, whatever it is. And that is the starting point because we can put the fixture on the shower. We can light candles. We can do fireworks. We can do whatever. If you are in a confused, chaotic space, body, mind, spirit, then one is going to impact the other. And I went into a hotel. I cannot think of where it was. It was a Westin hotel somewhere, and they had a heavenly bed. Was it? Have you ever been to the heavenly bed? Oh, it was a special, like a suite at the Westin at one of their hotels, and I do not mean for this to be a commercial for them, but they had the combination of mattress and sheets, and the whole, it was incredible. And sure enough, you could purchase the entire, you know, mattress, whole nine yards from leaving there. And, but again, it's I could have the entire whole heavenly bed process in a space that is cluttered and too hot or too cold, and it's a mess, and I'm angry, and I'm upset, and it doesn't matter. It's not heavenly in that space. It's confused and chaotic, just like that space is.
I got you. So, and we've spent a lot of time on the bed thing, the sleeping, but I recognize, even though I it's a work in progress for me, I recognize now it's important because the other day I had to make a decision. I get up a certain time and I do my 45 minutes of Zumba. I woke up one day and my body just wasn't feeling it, and I had to say to myself, okay, this is the day I have to sacrifice part of the Zumba to make sure my body is rested and maybe stay in and get a little bit more sleep. It's just, you know, it was just something, a decision I had to make, you know, because I had to start start recognizing that the sleep, you can't sacrifice sleep for the exercise. And then maybe I push the exercise schedule a little bit further out, you know.
Well, when you're making decisions for yourself, give yourself a break. But do get it done. You know, do what it is that you need to do, and understand that, you know, you owe yourself If you're going to sleep a little bit longer, then know that what that's going to do to the rest of what you're going to provide for yourself. What I'm saying uh-huh. is, you know, you are necessary. You deserve to be as healthy as you possibly can before you do anything else. Be at good health. That is necessary, and that is something that we, as we enter 2021, have to be ready to commit to ourselves and each other.
So, what other things do we need to focus on for 2021? We got a few minutes left, but I want to make sure we get the guidance process started, because like I was saying at the beginning of the show, the health conversation is not a one-time thing. The health conversation
right.
is continuous, always.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you asked that question. I've got something that I want to share with you and all of our listeners today.
Okay.
As you know, we got two eyes, two ears, but we got one heart, okay? And I've got a program that I just put together that I want to invite you and all of our listeners to, and it is called ORCID, okay? And what we're going to look at is we have developed, let's say, educational seminars that include food, folks, and fun ways to live healthier. Hint, 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 hint. Okay? In addition, we are going to help you to increase your physical activity. Now, we talked about that just a little bit today, but we're going to put you onto something that you are going to love. Have you ever heard of Chicago Stepping? Have you ever heard
yes.
of that?
Yes.
You have. Okay.
Yes,
if
I have.
Anybody in your guests, any of your listeners has not heard of Chicago Stepping, first of all, if you know somebody from Chicago, ask them what Chicago Stepping looks like. If they don't know, go on Google and look up Chicago Stepping. It is a beautiful art form for both men and women, and
mm-hmm.
it's a dance style.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't really know is it is physical activity.
Right.
It really is. And so we have a program right now, and it's going to start on Wednesday, January 6th, and it's going to teach you how to live a healthier heart life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've got experts from here in Central Florida. We are going to talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about health literacy. We're going to talk about how to manage if you have already been diagnosed with a cardiovascular disease. Maybe it's hypertension. Maybe you've had a stroke, or maybe you know somebody, or you're dealing or living with somebody who has been diagnosed with a cardiovascular issue. How do you manage that? We're also going to talk about spirituality. As we talked about today, health is about your mind, your body, and your spirit. And on Fridays, we're going to teach you how to Chicago step. And so everything is virtual. You will learn in the comfort of your own home. And we've got something that's going to get your game plan for 2021. We're going to start you off right, and we're going to get ready for 2021 with an open heart and with a healthy attitude. So we're ready for you. All we need is you. Everything is free. All you got to do is register. Go to my website, and we'll get it done. Let me give you the website,
right.
actually, interestingly enough. It's www.theislforyouonline.com. That, again, is www.theisl4uonline.com. And when you fill out your registration, tell them Dr. Trelanda sent you, okay? It's going to be
okay.
fun. Don't miss this. Let's do
All
this.
Right.
Kings and queens, the time is now. We have been
Amen.
Blessed to see 2020. We are blessed to hopefully see 2021. This is no time for playing games. Let's be honest. Let's be serious. And let's move forward with a healthy heart. Let's do it now. I'm ready. I hope you are too.
All right. Now, and that flyer is posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, FYI. So, you know, make sure you get signed up. And thank you, Dr. Trelanda Triplett, again, for gracing us with your presence, and have a Merry Christmas season and a blessed 2021.
Thank you so much for having me. All the best to you and yours for this wonderful holiday season. Sincere blessings for a miraculous 2021. Let's go.
Amen. Let's go. Thank you all for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Be well, be safe, be blessed. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.